Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm good.
Feeling all right?
Feeling good.
Awesome. All right, 3, 2.
I'm good. All right, let's do it.
1.
Ignition.
That's it. Hello and welcome back to the number one home building podcast in Australia. This week, we're doing something a little bit different. We are answering your questions. This is going to be a podcast Q&A. So we threw it up on our Instagram, ask us any question you want to do with building or construction or not. And we're going to smash out some questions. So are you ready for this?
Let's go.
But as per usual, you know the drill. Let's introduce ourselves. Don't think we're getting away from it. Do you want to kick us off?
Chris Baptista, the owner and director of Homes by CMA, one of the biggest and best builders in Queensland. I think I'm getting much better at this.
100%. 100%.
I come up with more stuff.
Little extra things to add in there. And I am Jaden Peters. I am the marketing manager for CMA. So now that we've got that covered, let's jump into our questions. All right. So a single story cost compared to double story cost. I've heard it's a lot more. Why?
No, single story is less per square meter. So I don't know where they've heard that a single story is more. I haven't seen a builder that would charge more for a single story as opposed to a double story. Usually from a single to a double, based on the same size, you would pretty much be adding at least $150 a square meter.
Mm-hmm.
Main reason for it would really be scaffolding, staircase, the particle board flooring, the joist. It's just all those things that are going to make a two-story a little bit more expensive. Yes, there's less slab and less roof, mm-hmm. but it doesn't make up for the extra cost.
That's it. And regardless of your two-story, you still have the same amount of components there as well, right? So often a smaller two-story is going to be higher in its square meterage cost. Because you still have all the things you do regardless of the size of the home,
The staircase is going to be the same.
Exactly.
Scaffold-wise, pretty much going to be the same.
Yeah.
So most of the fixed components are going to remain.
For sure. All right. So someone said, can you do Mario in a Mario's voice? That is the shit.
Is that really a question? Yeah. I don't really know how he says it, but... that is the shit.
Do you want to give a bit of a context as well behind that? Because people are like, what the hell?
No, for those that don't know, I guess Mario, my dad, old school builder and loves these things really well done. And when he goes to site and something is not well done, he will usually say it exactly how it is. And it usually comes out of, this is the shit.
Yeah.
So that's usually what comes out of his mouth. So he doesn't mean it in a bad way, but he just likes things well done. So
and it's just a little bit funny with the accent.
Oh, it's like, funny. And every tradie that works with us knows him and they know not to take it personally and actually find it quite funny. So
It is. Yeah. It's very funny. Mm. So Abby would like to know, there's so many builders that say they can't even touch a hill or a slope block. Can CMA?
Oh, of course. And that's... project builders for you. Most of the big ones, they just like to do things as easy as possible. They got standard drawings, standard everything. You can't change it. It must be up to a meter full and that's about it. At CMA, we're a custom home builder.
So
we can pretty much do it all. We've done anything from a meter full to 3-4 meters of full. So we've literally done it all, whether we retain it, whether we do a split level home, we can pretty much do it all.
That's it. Now, another question Natalie has is, it's a little bit broad. She asks, how long does it take from start to finish to build? Obviously, it's very much dependent on the house.
Very hard, this one, yeah. And particularly now, again, because of the grant, banks have been taking longer, council has been taking longer, everything takes longer. But at the end of the day, it comes down to what you are going to build. Mm. Is it a super easy single-story home or is it a very complicated, highly custom two-story house that's a split level?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the difference comes in terms of the process from the plans to the inclusions, the approval, the build. It's a little bit hard until we know a little bit more information. Yeah.
100%. So Jay would like to know, so assume no one knows anything about building.
Yeah.
Where can they go to find good information?
And oh, this is easy.
This is easy, right? 100% this podcast. Obviously, we've got a bunch of episodes here. It will tell you a lot of things in depth and everything that you need to know that's important.
That's it. I would say there's probably two things you need to do. The first thing is to follow us on Instagram.
That's it.
We've always got really informative stories, really good design,
inspiration,
the whole lot.
100%.
Second thing is YouTube. Mm. Definitely follow the YouTube channel. Not follow, but subscribe.
Yeah.
That's how much I know about it. but yeah, we've got a heap of podcasts and we are about to release a brand new series.
That's it.
That's just very short videos, but very, very informative if you don't know anything about home building.
That's it. So that's going to be perfect. Mm. So Sarah would like to know how much extra cost is it to upgrade to black accessories? Again, very much depends.
Very easy.
It very much depends on how far you want to take it as well and how much you want to upgrade throughout the house.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you got anything to...
It's super easy. You forgot about a popular upgrades book.
Oh, well, that is very, very true.
Again, being one of the most transparent home builder, we've got a most popular sort of upgrades book that lists most of the common upgrades and matte black is one of those. So
that's
we
it.
Have a list per...
item.
Per item on, you know, the shower niches with a matte black trim, the matte black mixers, the matte black shower screens, the matte black fans, and
everything,
the list goes on. So if you haven't got it, send us a message on Instagram and we'll send you a PDF of that brochure.
Literally, it's such a great document. Super transparent. Prices are right there. Yep. You see exactly what you're getting.
And the reason nobody does it is because they can't show you the price that they would charge because you'd get scared and you'd walk away.
Literally,
so we're not scared. We show it.
That's it.
If you're happy with it, we don't overcharge. So yeah,
that's it. We're that confident with it that we're even about to bring out the exact same brochure, but with pools. So CMA now do pools and we're super transparent. We tell you exactly how much it is and everything like that. Hey, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So the next question, they would like to know what feature walls or what can they do in their home to make their interior look better?
Ooh, feature walls, there's a few options, but the most common one, and probably going in terms of pricing, the cheapest, but it works really well, is just a painted feature wall. It looks really good as a starting point. You could have a plain white room, but just paint one of those walls a feature color, and you would be amazed by how much it changes the room.
100%.
A step up from them, you could go to a VJ board wall
I'm
and again paint it with a feature color. We've done it at the Newport display. I mean, it looks sensational. For the small amount of investment that you're going to put in a master bedroom or somewhere, it just looks really, really good.
Really nice. Yeah.
Really good. Then there's a heap of different things that you could do. For example, wallpaper. Mm-hmm. Again, Newport display home, the Hamptons one. Has a lot of wallpaper and he changes the whole house.
That's it.
So wallpaper is a big one.
And I don't think it's not a cringy wallpaper. It's quite a nice, like classy.
No,
like,
yeah, that's right.
You know, yeah,
that's,
it's good.
That's exactly right. And you just got to pick the right stuff. Mm. Some wallpapers are a little bit, you know, different. Mm-hmm. But if you're going for a Hamptons look, I think wallpaper can add a lot of styling into the house.
For sure.
Then there's a lot of more finishes, like, you know, the one we saw a few days ago, which is like a rendered finish wall.
Yes.
But you can do so many finishes on a wall, but this is going, again, a little bit up into a price point. But feature walls, feature tile, stone, again.
Yes.
That house had a staircase with stone at the back of the staircase. Looks amazing.
Very nice.
And it's also very dependent on the location. Like you wouldn't put wallpaper in a kitchen. You'd put wallpaper. You'd hope not. You'd put wallpaper in a bedroom, in a living, or just somewhere as a feature.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't also do too much of it because if you start going too many feature walls, too much VJ board, or too much of everything, it's just gonna.
It defeats the purpose as well.
It's
no longer
the whole
a feature
purpose.
Wall.
It's a feature wall. That's exactly right. Yeah. So that's probably the main things.
Awesome. So Jade would like to know the best tips for first home buyers. Again, if you go back and watch, I think it's the very first episode of this podcast, we literally cover this exact topic. So,
and that's the thing, the most important tip, if it's the first home you are going to build and you don't know anything about it, which is most people, face it, there's a lot, you know, research, definitely. Even before you go and see home sort of builders and shop around, research in terms of podcasts, knowledge, what's standard, what's upgraded, what should be standard, what should be upgraded. Mm-hmm. The more research you're going to do and the more you're going to know about it, the more ready you're going to be when you going to start to speak with a sales consultant.
Yeah, 100% agree. This one's an interesting one. What's your thoughts on Brenda versus Hebel versus Blueboard versus Cladding?
Depends on the application. All those are good, but usually, I guess I'm going to start with a Brenda. Brenda is really good, and particularly when you have brickwork. So, you know, you have the facade of your house and the lower story is rendered brick. Mm-hmm. It works great, low maintenance, super easy to touch up the paint. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, is what most people do because it looks really good. Now, there's some cases where rendered brick is going to be too expensive. For example, you have a garage door. And on top of the garage door, you have a infill, which if you were to brick, by the time you have a steel beam, you have the bricks and you have the render, is going to cost too much. So what you do in terms of Blueboard, you get the same look, but without the expense. So that's where Blueboard comes in. Blueboard is great as an infill and is great, for example, if you are going to render on top of a roof. So again, you know, you have a two-story house, you have your front and you have a roof section on the side. Mm-hmm. You don't want to brick on top of that. You can, but you don't really want to look at the costing because it's going to be very expensive. So what you want to do is you want a Blueboard and you want to render the Blueboard. It's a slight different finish than rendered brick, but it still looks really, really good. However, I'm not a fan of Blueboard when there's too much of it.
Yeah.
So once you have too much Blueboard, say someone wants to do the whole house with a Blueboard finish, I would not recommend it.
Yeah.
The reason for that is Blueboard comes in sheets of 1200.
Yeah.
And because you need to tape it and render it, once the sun's going to hit the sun of your house, you will see every single joint of your house. So I would say as a feature and as an infill, it works really well, but that's as far as I would take it. Hebel, I love Hebel. My next house is going to be Hebel, but there's also a purpose for it. You know, if you don't have to and you can work out with bricks, great. But some blocks, for example, we do are so narrow.
That's true.
Then using bricks is going to be too hard and you can't have a double garage. Doesn't seem like much, but 50 mil here and 50 mil here based on a Hebel means that then you can gain that space and have a double garage.
100%.
Downside of Hebel is it needs to be fully rendered,
which
is a downside because of the cost, but it does look good.
It looks great.
And the plus side is it has got really good insulation and obviously it's fully rendered, so it looks good. And you don't have the issue of the Blueboard because what happens is Hebel just goes on top of windows, on top of garage doors and pretty much everywhere. So you don't have no infills and you've got a consistent finish throughout the whole house. And why it's also good is because of the flexibility. For example, we're quoting a house which has lots of arches, lots of curved walls. You can't really do with this with bricks. You could, but it'd be way too hard. Hebel has this advantage where, you know, you can cut it in strips, you can curve the edges, you can have arches, and it is just it's just a much more flexible product when it comes to that sort of things.
Agreed. It looks
and
really
nice. I think that was it. Was there another one?
Is it? Awesome. So Buku would like to know wind and acoustic ratings. Again, if you go back and check out our Site Cost podcast, we go very much in depth into all of this.
We go deep.
Phil would like to know, why are you spending so much time on social media versus houses?
Because we love it. You know, I guess.
Like, keep in mind as well that we've got an entire team. It's not just one person handling all those things. You know, drafting is actively working on drafting as we speak and record this podcast. Like, this is just, you know, our marketing team and myself and that we're going out, we're doing all this and getting all the stories and everything like that. It's not.
And you know what? Like I feel I don't have to apologize for it. I love what I do.
100%.
I enjoy it. And I don't do a podcast or I don't do something unless my work is done. And if I have to do a half an hour podcast, I'm going to catch up later at night to make sure that the work I've missed, I get done.
It's true.
So, and when we're on site and we do stories, you're the one doing that. That's your job. So it's not like I even do them. So I think, you know, I don't have to apologize for it. I love what I do. I love showing people what we do because I think it's such a good insight into a home builder and see what we do.
For sure.
I find it really cool and I'm the builder and I just find it cool. Trying to show as many things, trying to explain as many things. And the plus thing too is,
bro, I'm the marketing and I find it so interesting.
Well, that's right. The more of those we do, the less questions we get asked and the more knowledge people have when they come and see us. So
for sure,
yes, yeah, it's a little bit of time invested now, but that time is going to be saved later down the track.
That's it.
Because people, we don't necessarily have to explain that much about soil test, about survey, about acoustic and about all those things. So
they get it, yeah.
Yeah, so I love it. I love that sort of things. I'm not a social media type of guy except for CMA.
Yeah.
And I think we're doing a good job.
Yeah,
I think we're doing a great job.
Yeah, not to toot our own horns. Yeah, like, you know, we've definitely, you know, seen growth. We've put obviously a lot more time and effort
into
it.
And you know what? You know what? If you don't like it, you don't have to watch it.
That's true.
Nobody's forcing you.
That's true. There's no gun to your
head. Nobody is forcing you to watch it. So if you don't like it, that's no problem.
That's it.
We're not here to please everyone. We're here because we really think we have one of the best knowledge in the industry and we want to share that. I don't see what's wrong about this.
100% agree. Like, we're very passionate about it. And
you can see, because I go on a rant about this, I think, I just see nothing wrong about it. So,
No, 100%. Awesome. So I'm just trying to read to another question. Differences about facade prices. Well, obviously, due to the complexity and the materials required, each facade is going to obviously incur a different price depending
on how it's a very good point. Yeah, that's exactly complex. It's basically due to the complexity, like you said, and the materials you use. You could have...
See, I'm learning.
it's a very good point. I probably would not have used the word complexity, but it's the best word to use because the pricing is not just sometimes based on the materials, but how hard it is to build and how much supervision is required. And how much attention to detail you really have to put in, I guess. So each facade is priced individually. We have a standard price range for the facades, but it depends on the cladding, the garage door, the entry door size, all those things. You know, the roof, it could be a skillion roof, it could be a hip roof. It could be a facade that has a parapet where you don't see the roof.
That's it.
And people think, well, you don't see the roof, why is it more expensive? Well, you got to think about all the flashing.
That's it.
You got to think about everything that goes on top of the bricks to hide that roof.
Exactly.
And the walls are going to be higher at the front. You're going to need more scaffolding.
That's it.
So it's all those things which we have to take into consideration when we price up a facade. But our facades, I think, are one of the best price in the industry.
Yeah.
So we always try to price them sharp because if we build houses that look like shit, first of all, I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And second of all, we're not going to get more work because someone's going to come to your house and, oh, who's built your house?
Yeah.
Oh, it was CMA. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The facade could look a little bit better.
Like,
or they could come to your house and like, oh my God.
Yeah.
The facade looks so good. Who's built your house? Exactly. I've never seen anything like it.
Exactly. We're on your team. We want your house to look as good as possible.
Definitely.
Because that's a reflection of us and our work and our reputation.
And that's why we got the interior designers. That's why I always try to help when it comes to facades and all this because we want to make it look as good as possible.
That's right. And that's why we're also trying to be different. We're also trying to offer different facades like our new Mediterranean range that no one else has. To give you guys the extra edge as well and have something different and stands out on the street. Awesome. So here's a really good question. The impact of the grants and everything like that in terms of the industry and the pricing.
Yeah, I guess people would have seen it on TV. It's been on the news for quite a few days now.
Yeah.
The long story short is you had the virus and the virus for most builders had caused no work.
Yeah.
With us, we had an increase in work during the virus, but that was a bit of a rare thing because we got a very different product.
Yeah.
And then-
And a great social media manager. <over here. laughs>
And because then of the drop in work, the government has introduced the home builders grant to try to have a push and try to get a lot of work created.
Yeah.
So what that has caused is most, I guess, good builders have either doubled or tripled in size.
Mm.
So if you can imagine all that work that's created in terms of home builders all at once is now getting passed on to all the suppliers and the contractors. Now, it's normally a hard thing to find good tradies and good suppliers. And most of them are already quite stretched in terms of capacity.
Yeah.
So if you can imagine now you're putting twice or to a lot of them, three times the amount of work.
Yeah.
By the time they get new machines, by the time they get more staff, by the time they train them, there's just no way that anyone can cope with this amount of work.
That's it.
And we are dealing with the best suppliers. Like, we have the best suppliers and the best tradies of all time.
In the game.
And they're doing the best they can. But the problem is you can only do so much.
Yeah.
And that's what I think clients maybe don't necessarily realize. Why is my frame going to take more time?
Yeah.
Well, there's only so many frames the frame supplier can do.
That's it.
And that's why it's going to be a massive issue for the small builders.
Yeah.
Because what happened is those framing companies and the roofing companies have told the small builders that we can't do your work.
Yeah.
Because why would you do the work of a small builder that does 5 homes a year and then compromise the work of a builder that does 400 homes a year?
Exactly.
There's no point.
Exactly. Yeah.
So those small builders are going to be in trouble, and even the medium-sized builders are going to be in trouble because, again, who are those companies going to pick?
Yeah.
Those builders that do the most work and those builders that also pay the bills on time.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's the long story short. It just has created so much work that those suppliers just can't handle it.
Agreed.
It's as simple as that. And most of them that we deal with anyway are running a 24/7 shift.
Yeah.
It's become that bad.
They're
running a 24/7 shift. They got new lease on warehouses. They got new machines coming.
New staff.
But all that takes time, you know?
It's true.
It's already hard to find good staff. It's already hard to find drafties. It's already hard to find detailers, so that by the time you add all this on top of it, it's just made things a lot harder.
Yeah. 100%.
Luckily, we are in a good spot.
Yes.
Luckily, we are one of the best paying home builders in Queensland.
I was about to say, like, we have great relationships with all our suppliers. Sure. Yeah. Obviously, CMA has developed an amazing presence and size for itself now. So it does have, a lot of that power and stuff now.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if you've picked a builder that is pretty small, and again, it's nothing about the smaller sort of builders, but the problem is they will be faced with the fact that suppliers won't really, it's not that they don't want to supply to them, it's that they just can't because they won't risk the relationship with the big builder.
That's it.
And that's where it's going to be a little bit hard. And
it's happened. We've seen it now. We've seen
like what we're talking about. There's already a builder, medium size, that people are going to find out that's going bust.
Yeah.
And because they just can't cope.
That's
so,
it.
So, yeah. And also, that's another reason that builder went bust is they priced up their jobs really sharp.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize is we are getting so many price increases.
Yeah.
From the frames to the roofing to this to that, that we are not passing on.
Yeah.
So we have to absorb this.
That's right.
And we will absorb it. Yeah. Like, it is what it is. But for a builder that's priced up their job already not the best, they might have really big overheads and they can't absorb it.
That's it.
So that builder is just down.
That's it. They go bankrupt.
Yep.
And it sucks because, like, they're obviously
their
cash flow isn't good. Yeah. And
And you can only last so long with really bad cash flow. And then it's just a matter of just everything going down.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we covered that pretty well. Let's move on.
No, but it's
23
important.
It is important.
It's quite important. And
I think it's important for people to know as well. And again, it comes back to this transparency.
That's right. And the truth is, no matter what builder you deal with, there's no reason for that builder to be slow either. No matter what builder it is, why would they delay a job?
That's it.
We don't get paid.
Yeah.
So if we don't start, we don't get paid. And we don't hit profit on a job until we hit a certain stage.
That's it.
So for us to slow down a job, there's just no point. We want to go as quick as we can.
On our end, we're pushing as hard as we can to try and get all of this through. And it's just up to the, to the suppliers and things like that. Mm. So we're doing everything we can. Awesome. So I'll let you take this, Rain. What does full turnkey house mean?
Full turnkey basically means that the builder gives you the keys to your house and you don't have to do a single thing.
That's it.
And by a single thing, you don't have to touch landscaping, you don't have to touch fencing, you don't have to touch, you can just move in and everything is done for you.
That's it.
So we don't offer a full turnkey as a standard, but we offer a ready to move in. So the only difference between a ready to move in and a full turnkey is the fencing and the landscaping,
which
you can obviously add on.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why a lot of people like a full turnkey because you don't have to do anything.
That's it. You literally arrive on hand over day, everything's done, you're ready to move in.
That's exactly right. So that's what a full turnkey is. And unfortunately, not many builders do it anymore. And the bigger the builder, the less included you have. So the less of a turnkey you get. Yeah,
for sure. Pros and cons, steel versus timber frame.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of steel. I've said it many, many times, and you can go back and I think we've done a podcast about this. Yeah, I think we have. But, you know, timber is a natural product. Timber is never going to be straight. And that's really where the problem is. So from a builder's point of view, we want to build houses that are straight and we want to build houses that are consistent. Mm. And timber doesn't allow us to do this, unfortunately, particularly when we have two-story houses. We've talked about, and that's one thing that people don't realize. They might think that you have, so for example, a single-story house, you've got your wall frames and then you got your trusses. So that's where your roof is.
Yeah.
A truss, if it's made out of timber, it will have a camber. So a truss will never be flat.
Yeah.
Which sounds a bit strange. You think, oh, well, I thought my ceiling was flat. Mm. Well, if you have a timber frame, your ceiling is not going to be flat of the camber on the timber, which has to be there because otherwise it would sag too much.
Yeah.
So timber has cambers, whether it's beams, whether it's trusses, it has cambers. And that makes it hard from a builder's point of view to have things flat because you can't.
Yeah.
So what happens is you have a timber frame.
That's it.
And again, we're going to take the example of a two-story house. You have a steel beam,
mm-hmm.
and then you have trusses, for example, that are going to hook onto that steel beam.
Yeah.
The trusses are going to have a camber. Yeah. The steel beam is going to be straight.
That's it.
How do you make that work?
Mm.
You know, that's where the trick, and I've
that's a good point.
I've never been a fan of this,
yeah.
Which is why, for me, steel is so much better in terms of straightness, in terms of strength.
Yes.
A timber frame puts too much reliance on the labor side of things.
That's
you have to rely too much on a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, carpenters are getting... how do I say that nicely? Carpenters are losing their skill.
Yeah.
Most of them, and again, there's really, really, really good carpenters out there, so I don't bag them, but most carpenters nowadays just assemble things.
Yeah.
And the problem is they don't have the skills. As soon as there's a problem or there's a camber and they have to make things work, they just don't know how to do it.
That's it. They dig their head in the sand.
You don't have this issue with a steel frame.
Yeah.
It's the same principle. It comes prefabricated and you just assemble.
Mm-hmm.
But the plus is it's all straight.
That's it.
And it's all much easier to assemble. And you don't have to put as much emphasis on the labor side of things.
That's it.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, just the warranties on them, the bloody
50-year warranty,
resistant.
Which that's exactly what I think on a timber frame.
Termites.
Even if it's treated, I think you can get up to 25-year.
Yeah.
A steel frame, you get 50-year from TrueCore Steel.
That's it.
And termite proof.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to spend $300,000-$500,000 on a house.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in Queensland and your frame could get eaten by termites. Is this really what you want?
Exactly.
I don't want it.
Yeah, neither.
Well,
you can keep it.
Cool. Yeah. But, you know, timber frames are strong if they're well built. There's no issues with it.
Yeah.
It's just that from a builder's point of view, it's just too much work to get it to a good stage.
Yeah.
And that's the hard thing. You know, you can get a really good frame delivered to site and it could be like really good. You might have to plan a few studs here and there, but it's pretty good. Or you can get a proper crap frame that's got knots everywhere.
Yeah.
Studs are bowed everywhere.
Yeah.
And you got to work with both of them.
Yeah.
And that's what's hard.
Yeah. Cool. All right, so Karen would like to know, when will Australian builders / designers start adopting the beautiful residential architecture of United States? We're getting there, I suppose. I mean, we offer this weird sort of like modern, like what is it, modern century sort of Alice Springs kind of house, which represents a lot of like that sort of style in America.
You know what? Yeah, it's tricky because it comes down to the demand.
Yeah, demand.
And the problem is we don't get
and that style isn't very common in Australia either.
That's exactly right.
We can build it. Like we're custom builders. Yeah, we can build it. It's just not the most popular thing here.
I mean, I think about all the houses we've built and I can't think of one which had that style. So not that it's bad or anything, but it's just, and I do believe the Americans have probably better building techniques than us.
Mm.
I think they got much better product, much better insulation, much, much better everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just not a style or anything that's in demand here, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're keen to build one, we're always here and I would love to build one.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Cool. I think this is the last question that we've got this afternoon. So how many houses can you guys build at the same time?
Oh, a lot. A lot.
Name a number.
Well, currently, to give you an idea, we probably got, I haven't had a look at the numbers the past few weeks, but I think we got 160 homes getting built as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably going to hit 200 very soon.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, past 200 homes getting built at the same time, it would definitely be a struggle. Yeah. And probably not necessarily something I want to do anyway.
Yeah.
I like to keep CMA to a certain size and you know, I think I don't want to lose the small customer service we have and go to like the big builders where yeah. you're just a number and that's about it.
That's it. That's definitely not what you want.
But yeah, we can handle a lot of work. So yeah, a lot of work.
That's it. Awesome. Is there any other things you want to include before you head off? Or
that's about it. But yeah, I would say follow us on Instagram and we're probably going to try to do those quite often.
Yeah.
Because we find that people have really great questions.
For sure.
And yeah.
And we love answering them.
And we love answering them. It. So it reminds me of the days of Instagram Live where we used to do that.
That's it.
And it's good because on the spot, there's no script. There's just nothing. Not that there's a script in the podcast yeah. we do anyway.
It's just off the cuff.
It's just live and I love it.
Yeah, same. All right. Well, we'll get out of your hair. We hope you enjoyed that podcast and we'll see you next week with a brand new episode.
Done.